question today, and we might, not sure how long we'll spend on this, but what makes a good mom or a great mom, or what are characteristics of a good or great mom? And we can do, we can do some that would apply to all moms, and if you want to do some that are specifically for a Christian mother, that's fine too. We can, you know, because there are some things that would apply to any mom, saved or unsaved, and then those things that would be more specific to a believer. All right, Dennis, you had your hand up first.
I was getting ready to ask, are you sure you
want
to ask this to the guy?
Sure, because we have a lot of young ladies in here that need to know what a good, great mom looks like. Yes, Ryan.
Stamina.
Okay.
All right. I speak for my wife. I am away a lot, and with four kids at home, getting up and grinding through taking care of four little ones, it's exhausting.
All right.
Stamina is a pretty good trait.
Okay. Good. What else?
Proverbs
yes.
31.
All right.
Proverbs
31, specifically. The whole thing. Come on, that's cheating. Lauren.
How to be responsible for yourself so that at some point, like, obviously, you know, moms take care of the baby, so not when they feel like they're helpless, but how to take care of yourself. It makes me kind of sad to see some students who, like, they wouldn't even cross their mind to do it because their mom would have for them rather than teaching them to do it. Or, like, when I went to college and some of my roommates were
so teaching your children to be responsible.
Yeah, and like
okay.
How to take care of
them. All right. Yes, Malcolm.
I'm kind of scared to say this, but I think being a mom within the confines of marriage would be one. I'm not sure what you're. Because, I've seen so many people that do this. Me and Anna Lynn both having children outside the realm of godly unions and stuff.
Okay. So being faithful and having children within a marriage relationship. Okay. Man, it's quiet. Y'all should like have lots of things here. Chris?
Yeah, I know from when I was younger, I got ready to leave the military. There was no doubt that my grandmother and my mother were both active.
Okay.
Amen.
So being a prayer warrior and praying for your children. Okay.
Just picked up on that thing, prayerful. I think being a godly mother and godly wife and instilling those values and virtues on their children. On her children.
All right. So godliness. Loves and fears the Lord. All right.
Sacrificial.
Sacrificial.
Yeah. I always said mom was loving Nick
bones. That mom what?
Loved the neck bone.
Oh, loved the neck bone.
Yeah.
So she ate what was left. I always remembered my mom when we had, she loved dessert, but, sorry Mike, but if there was, if anybody wanted another peace or whatever, she'd always give hers up, and you know, we didn't even think twice about it. I don't know, but she was willing to sacrifice for that. Mike, yes.
Unconditional love.
Okay, unconditional love. Describe that. Give an example of that. Okay. All right. Yes, Mary.
What children need the most is to see their parents loving each other.
Amen.
All right. So loving their husband. All right. Nate.
One of the things my son is talking about.
great shooter, you know, with them, and, but she shows just great love, patience, and just great support. So they wanted to watch me like her.
So they want to grow up and marry a mom. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't worry, just kidding.
Just kidding. All right, so you said patient, loving, straight shooter. What? I think he said one other thing. I was trying to remember what it was at the end there. But, yeah.
About fun.
All right, fun. All right. And there's a balance in that, isn't there? Being fun, but also having to keep boundaries there with the fun. For sure. What, James? Good luck with that. Oh, come on. Yes, Heather. So being available. All right. So making the effort to discipline and then being available. Beth. Yeah, that's a good word, respectful. All right. Anybody else? I had some. All right. So a great mother, and all of these, I'm kind of trying to present from a Christian perspective, but they invest in their children's spiritual growth. All right, so what does that look like? How is a mom, and there's some great moms in here, some very mature moms. You've been a mom for many, many years. So what do we mean when we say you invest in your children's spiritual growth? What does that look like?
Christ first.
All right. You put Christ first.
Teaching them, like, at home, not just alone.
All right. So you're teaching the Bible at home, which means that you're reading the Bible with them, that you're praying with them. You are teaching them how to apply that scripture. It's not just, okay, you know, you memorize the Bible verse for Sunday school or Awana and that's the end of it. But you're asking questions and you are really, you're taking that opportunity to disciple them.
It doesn't stop when they're at
age. Yes.
It continues always with
all. All right, so it's a never-ending process. All right, what else? What else is included in this idea of you're investing your children's spiritual growth?
Just applying biblical principles to every situation that happens.
All right, great. You are using biblical principles to apply to things that are happening. You know, one of the things my mom was very good at was using scripture to correct us, which kind of fits in with, Nate, what you were just saying on the correcting side of things. But, you know, when we misbehaved, she was always good at trying to, or not trying to come up with, but having a verse to, you know, bring to our attention as to why our behavior was inappropriate or why it was wrong. And so she used the scripture, and again, not like a baseball bat where she beat you over the head with it kind of thing. Or made us hate the Bible because it's, you know, we didn't feel like she was always, you know, using it against us. But in the correction or in the discipline, showing us why, you know, it wasn't just, you know, you made me angry or, you know, you were bad. Well, why? You know, what made that bad? What made that behavior wrong? And so always taking us back to the scripture and showing us, you know, this is what God's Word says, and you didn't meet up with that kind of idea. And I think her favorite verse was I always mix it up. Numbers, it's either 21, 23, or 23, 21, but be sure your sin will find you out. That was like the number one quoted verse in our house. So whenever we got in trouble, that was like the first one, and then we went from there. All right, so a great mother is aware of what her children are doing and what or who are influencing them. All right, what do we mean by that, being aware? All right, because again, you're going to have this combination of being aware and then the accusation of being nosy. Yep.
I think it's kind of a lot of people personal, also, especially with my oldest. He has been very friends are allowed to watch certain things or play certain things, and I'm sheltering too much.
Okay. All right, great. So knowing what your children are watching, what they're listening to, what games they're playing, you know, even what books they're reading, and that takes time. If you see a book laying in their room, not just look at the title and go, oh, yeah, okay. But actually pick it up and look at it, read a little bit of it. I was reading a story or reading an illustration the other day about a mom who picked up, saw a book in her, I think her daughter's bedroom, it was her son's bedroom, and, picked it up and, the cover looked fine and she didn't really think anything about it. And then she read the first chapter and she realized that the main character was exemplifying or was being promoted for these ungodly characteristics in his life. And she was, she sat down and, talked about that. Why are they promoting this? And, these are things that the scripture is totally against. And yet, the author is lifting that up and making that, appear to be a good thing. So it gave an opportunity to discuss those things. And I would say, moms, don't be afraid to be nosy. And you might get accused of that, but too bad. Like Jessica said, that's kind of, you are to be that. And, let your kids know that. Yes, Julie, we'll get there first.
And I think all of that stems from even when they're very young, keeping that communication open, letting them know that they can come talk to you about anything, but promoting that communication channel so that if they're in the trouble coming up, hopefully they will be willing to talk about it and share.
All right, so keeping the lines of communication open and even from a very young age, just always communicating with them. Lauren?
Well, I was going to say, I also think, you could promote it or, sell it to your kids out of poverty, but I think that it's also important to let them know that you're doing it because you care about them. And then you and Mom did a pretty good job with that, with movies and books and stuff. That was always, a family thing that we would do together. So then, it wasn't until we were, upper high school, really, that we were watching or reading things on our own. Because all until then, that was the same. It's like, we're all going to read this book together, or we're all going to watch this movie together. So I remember that was more, it tied it to a family experience kind of thing, so it was tied to a relationship.
Okay.
So then when we were older, Scholastic Book Fair and stuff, if we wanted to buy a book at the Scholastic Book Fair, we would always have one of you check it out first. And ooh, this looks cool, and that it was we wanted to talk about it or something.
Right.
So I think tying it to that it's a relational thing, I guess. I think that kind of helps, so we never really viewed it as you guys being nosy or anything.
Okay. Alrighty.
How about protecting innocence? Back in my day, I'm not really that far back, but sometimes you can think about it, used to be, kids had a different kind of clothing style than what grown-ups did, Now I see people dressing children in clothing that grown-ups probably shouldn't do,
Right. Okay.
Because I see things now that you would have to go down to Hay Street to see when we were growing up,
Yeah.
And it's just common. I just feel sorry for them now because they don't have that innocence. My niece knows stuff. She knew stuff when she was 5 years old But I didn't know until I was 17 years old.
Right. Yep. And that's it is sad, but it's tends to be what it is, unfortunately, for today. All right. Next. She admits when she is wrong. She admits when she is wrong. Why is that beneficial? Okay, she's walking her faith. All right, shows humility. How else would a great mom use her mistakes to help her children? Okay. All right, great. And that's the point there, is that you use your failures to teach your children that, you know, it's okay. You know, we're not perfect and we're not going to be perfect. But, you know, when we do make a mistake, when we do mess up, we're going to admit that we're wrong. You know, we're going to, you know, immediately admit that. We're going to openly admit that and then seek forgiveness, or, you know, if we have to make restitution or make things right because of it, then we will. Chris?
Sometimes when that happens, you can almost be self-deprecating where I'm so stupid. So what is that teaching the kids? That when they make a mistake, they can call themselves something they're really not.
Right. Yeah, right. So you need to be cautious in that process that, again, you're still, you know, you're still a light bearer. You're still made in God's image. You're not stupid. You know, and that was one thing with our girls growing up, you know, and I know it's maybe a fine line to choose between, but, you know, we never allowed them to call themselves or someone else stupid. But we did at times say, you know, what you did was stupid.
Amen.
All right. So drawing the difference between the behavior wasn't appropriate, and that was stupid to do that. But you yourself are not stupid. You should have known better and not have done that. All right, so a great mother seeks counsel from mature moms. All right, and how would that fit in? Okay, because there are a couple different ways in seeking advice or counsel. All right, Beth?
I told my mom and my mother-in-law.
All right. Okay, so calling them, you know, for babies and how to deal with things. What else? Other than that, anybody think of another alternative? Yes, Beth? Discipline them a whole lot, right?
Are you talking about, need help from mature moms who already had teenagers or something when you're going through that? Is that what you're talking about?
Partially, yes. I would say the other point that I was trying to make is that a great mom knows when to reach out to another lady or whatever, or even their husband, and just say, you know what, I need some time alone, or I need a break, I need whatever, and then, you know, can you babysit my kids? Can we share the baby? You know, can I watch your kids if, you know, this week you watch mine next, or you watch mine this week, I'll watch yours next week, you know? But, or, you know, just telling their husband, being open and honest with, you know, I really, you know, can you watch the kids tomorrow night? Because I really need to, you know, just get away, kind of thing. So, you know, that idea of you're seeking that counsel or advice, you're open with them.
I've been that alone with mature moms. Is, I think mothers have, well, everybody has this, but probably the most self-condemnation, you know, because fathers and mothers are not perfect, you know, and you're like, oh, so you see the flaw in your child, like, what did I do wrong, you know, and realize that, you know, you're raising up kids and they have their personalities too, but I think to myself, well, should I work or should I do the stay at home stuff? And I know the world expects a lot out of women, and I think sometimes they need to, the older mothers or moms, you know, you're just human. You can't do it all.
Right. Yep, that is important for that. Yes, Chris?
And if it communicates, it's okay to ask for help.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so again, that example of teaching your children, showing them that it is wise and godly to ask for help. All right. They recognize their dependence on God and spend time with Him. Okay. So again, you know, that's maybe not something that is, you know, obviously they might not see that per se, because that's more something internal. That's, you know, your time with the Lord, your, you know, Bible reading and prayer time. You know, maybe they see you do that, maybe not, depending if it's early in the morning before they get up, or at night after they go to bed, or whenever that is. You know, I know my mom, well, she, you know, a lot of times we'd see her reading her Bible. We'd get up and she'd have her cup of coffee and be finishing her devotions in the morning. And then as we got up and started getting ready, she'd help with breakfast and whatever. But you know, and then she would share with us, I was reading in my Bible and this is what I read. And so it was that constant reminder that she was doing what she was telling us to do, kind of idea as well. All right. She uses her children's behavior to point them to Jesus. All right. What do we mean by that? Or how is that? What is an example of that? Yes, Beth. Okay. Yes, partially. Yep. And then explaining why it makes him sad, or all right. So when a child says, you know, I always do bad things and I don't want to. How can you use this to point them to Jesus? What? Oh.
I guess you know Romans 7, the good I would do, that do I not.
Okay.
I think you should deliver me from.
All right. All right. Exactly. I mean, you know, when a child, you know, when you've been working with them and getting on them, and it just seems like, you know, every time you turn around, you're saying, stop that, stop that, stop that. And then, you know, your child's like, you know, but mommy, I just can't do right. You know, I just always do the bad thing. You know, the idea there is you take that and you just say, you know what? Without Christ, we all do bad things. You know, because we don't have the power to do what is right. So it just really opens the door for our salvation presentation. And you take advantage of those opportunities. You know, and again, you're not throwing it, you know, you're not trying to cram it down their throats. But when the opportunity arises, you're aware of that. You know, and that comes back to as you are depending upon God and spending time with Him and asking the Holy Spirit to give you that awareness. Then when it presents itself, then you can. All right. She prays for her children consistently and continually. And I think we've kind of mentioned that and talked about that already. You know, praying for them and really beseeching God on their behalf. And then lastly, she keeps her husband first no matter what. All right. And why do we say that? All right. There's one really, really, really good reason for that. Yep. Yes. Right. And first and foremost, we've got to realize, you know what, that the husband, your husband, you've got to keep him first, because the children are going to leave one day, or hopefully will leave one day, or supposed to leave one day. But you don't want your husband to leave with them. You know, and so many moms struggle with, you know, they pour their whole life into their children and they really just forget about their husband. And then when the children leave, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know you anymore and you're just a stranger in my house and I have no kids. And so I have no purpose and I just don't want to be there anymore. Kind of idea. Malcolm.
I was thinking about what Beth was talking about earlier. You know, and like that, we men, we crave respect, you know, and we love, but respect so much
more important.
Well, it's not more important, but it's, and if they don't, if a child does not see a mother respecting her husband, what is that going to bring into the next generation? I mean, we should all be submissive to one another, and we should all be respectful for one another.
Right.
But those things are very important in a relationship. And if you don't teach your children that the husband is supposed to love his wife and that the wife is supposed to respect, and they're just two sides of the same coin.
Yep.
That the next generation will not share this thing.
That's true. And we've, in many, many homes, we've already seen that, unfortunately. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for just these simple truths this morning. And thank you for scripture that does help to guide our thoughts and our direction and the principles that we can gain from it on how to rear our children and be great parents. And I pray that you would be with those that do have children at home still, that you would give them a passion and a desire to be the best mom, the best dad that they can be. We pray for those with grandchildren that they would strive to be great grandparents and continue to teach and train their grandchildren. And then that you would help the rest of us as well. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.